All right, guys, good evening. Tonight's shir is dedicated to the four shlema of Shoshana Elka bat Etel Dina.
Amen.
And may she have a four shlema ben Ravi Amenu. Okay, so thanks to some of the incredibly insightful comments of Dr. Yael Ziegler, who has really been my rabbanit, if you will, in so much of understanding Megillat Ruth, she points out a very, very fascinating idea. And this is going to be one of those meta ideas in this first parak. And that is that there's many instances where we have the word shav, we have the word holech, and we actually even have the word tetze. Now, shav or shuv turns up 12 times in Parag Aleph. Halach or Holech turns up 10 times. Pretty interesting. And Tetze, okay, appears but once. But what do all these words have in common? They all have to do with movement. And it's very interesting. All this movement in how many psukim? If we look, all told, you have 22 psukim. And yet, you have 22 instances of halach, holech, shuv, plus the tetze. That's an unbelievable number of verbs dealing with movement in such a relatively short number of psukim. So Dr. Ziegler suggests the following, and I think it's spot on. He said, Perek Aleph is all about people going to a new place that's fitting for them. This is just a big idea of the Perek. So where do Ruth and Naomi go? Where do they return to? Bethlehem. Where, after last week, where does Orpah go?
Back to
Moab.
Sodom.
Okay. Well, to the Sodom of her time.
Exactly.
Bidyuk nachon. Because what you said is absolutely right. Because after all, Orpah is a relative of who? Lot. Because Lot was the father of Moab. Right? So Orpah had a choice, right? Orpah could have followed Avraham, or she could have followed Lot, right? That was her choice. Just like Ruth, who was her sister, according to the Medrash, could have followed Avraham, or could have followed Lot. But what did she do? She is eschewed. She rejected Lot out of hand. Instead, followed Avraham, and in fact, another Dr. Ziegler insight that just, it's breathtaking. When Ruth says to Naomi, and this is just a prologue to what we're going to be doing tonight and next week, when Ruth says to Naomi, wherever you go, I'm going to go, right? Who long ago should have said exactly those words?
Lot.
Because Avraham gave him the chance. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left, or whatever the order of the pasuk was. And what should Lot have done?
Follow.
I'm going with you.
But they already had issues. They had issues with the raising and that kind of thing. That's
agreed.
Why Avraham said
right.
That.
Correct. But what does a healthy family do?
Sticks together.
They work it out. Because they say what brings us together is more important than what temporarily sets
separates.
Us apart and separates
us. Well, he could have said, well, I'll start raising correctly.
Correct. Okay, you could have said that. Right, and I'll stay with you. But that's not what happened. Okay, so this is Dr. Ziegler, to just finish this idea with some clarity. She says that Ruth closed the circle that was open from the time that Lot refused, right, to go with Avraham Avinu. Okay? I think this is such an insight. And actually, about 5 minutes before this year, I did what I had told Arlene I was going to do. I just had to write Dr. Ziegler an email of Hakarat HaTov and let her know how special her Torah analysis has been to me, and that I feel very zochah to be able to share it with you. So that's
with other women.
Okay. Well, I didn't even talk about this year. I just was telling how she's overwhelmed me. But I'm going to do that, hopefully, if I can do...
Educate a woman, you educate a generation.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
And, oh, that's not my quote. I got it from somewhere.
And not only that,
because
what do the women do? They educate generations to come.
The children.
Right? Because you think about it. Meshuv nashim tzidkaniyot negalu avotenu mimitzrayim. It wasn't just... It's very, very important, because people always get it wrong, especially, L'tzareinu Harav, many people that are men. They think, what's that talking about? I think that, okay, so the Jewish women insisted on continuity and they had children. What's left out of all that? They didn't have children the way turtles lay eggs.
No.
What did they do?
They raised
the children. But what did they
do? Educate them.
And in what?
And Torah.
And Emunah. And Bitachon. So the next time you hear someone, by the way, I believe our rabbi gets it, okay? But the next time you just hear someone sort of like, yeah, Meshuv Nashim, you remember what it means. It's not just the physical continuity. That would have ended. But it's the spiritual continuity because of the women. So that's, you made a good point. Okay, so those are introductory comments that I wanted to share with you. With that in mind, let's go into the actual psukim. So we're up to Pasuk Vav. Okay, and there should be enough copies this week because I made more copies and everyone should have it. So we're up to Pasuk Vav. So what do we have? V'takom hi v'chaloteha. So I raised an idea last week that I think is very important. We're in a phase of anonymity here. Vatakomi, she got up, and her daughters-in-law. No names.
They all moved.
Right? But more importantly, they don't have names at this moment. I'm going to suggest this, okay? When it's Vatakomi v'haloteha, they could have gone anywhere and done anything. So their identities had not yet been solidified. What are they going to do? We don't know. But then, what does the Megillah say? V'tashov misedei Moav. They returned from the fields of Moav. But, wait a minute, that didn't happen immediately. Because the rest of the Pasuk tells us it didn't happen immediately. So the Ibn Ezra says, the famous Ibn Ezra, right? He's a Ben Doro of Rashi. Right? Rashi lives in 1040 to 1105. The Ibn Ezra lives about the same time. Different places. And by the way, Al Gore was not there to invent the internet yet. So they didn't have good communication. Mm-hmm. So did Rashi know of Ibn Ezra? And did Ezra? Probably not. So one's in Spain, one's in Europe, in France. Okay,
so but he was a nephew of... Ben
Dod, who's a Ben Doro.
Oh.
Same generation. Same generation. Right. So but the Ibn Ezra says that, what do you mean they returned from Stamalov? They didn't do that yet. So he says, B'machshava. They made a determination. Okay? Yet, they hadn't yet done it. So that's why if you look in Pasuk Zion, there's no names. Okay? Now, it's only in Pasuk Chet where we have the name of Naomi mentioned again, but we still have daughter-in-laws, because Naomi is firm beyond any doubt that where is she going? She's going to Bethlehem, going back to you, Eretz Yehuda. I think this is my own piece here, and I think it's at least worth thinking about. Okay, so v'takom hi v'chalota, back to pasuk vav. V'takom hi v'chalota. Okay, v'tashov mistei Moav, which is going to take place. So this is the machshava. Now ki shama b'sedei Moav, because they heard in the fields of Moav. Ki Pakad Hashem. Okay, anyone have a good reference to Pakad Hashem? That's real clear. What?
Pakod Yivkod.
That's good. Okay, Pakod Yivkod, that's excellent. Okay, so think Rosh Hashanah. Vahashem Pakad Et Sarah. Interesting? Same word, Pakad. So, ki pakad Hashem. Hashem. Now, how do you say pakad? Could mean a visit. Okay? I think here a good translation is HaKadosh Baruch Hu paid attention. Okay? Ki pakad Hashem et amo. The time had come. Higi azman. Okay? It was time for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a sense, to re-examine, right, the relationship. And he decided. Ki pakad Hashem et amo letet lehem lechem. Okay? Can't have Jews, right, without the wherewithal to live. And first and foremost, after breathing, is eating and drinking. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had made the decision to once again end the Ra'av and give them what? Bread.
How did they know that? That's why it's called Bethlehem.
Excellent question. It's like a Chaya question, because like sometimes when she asks those questions, I sit there and go, I'll give you your money later. Okay, I'm about to discuss exactly that. Exactly that. Okay, because here's the funny thing. Let's go back to the Pasuk. That's very good. Ki shama, because they heard.
The grapevine?
Yeah. Where did they hear this from?
They had a nevuah.
Well, I'm not sure that Ruth and Orpah and Naomi were on the level of hearing the Vua. So you ready for this one? It's a fascinating medrash. The medrash asks first, excuse me, what's going on here? V'tashov b'sedei Moav, kishama b'sedei Moav. You don't need b'sedei Moav mentioned twice, do you? Look how you could have read it. Look at the text. It's very, very, very interesting what the Medrash points out. V'takom hi v'chalota v'tashuv misadei Moav ki shama ki pakad Hashem. Do you need misadei Moav? I mean, where do you think they were? They weren't in Brooklyn. Where were they? Of course they were in Sedei Moav. So something's going on. So what? And they didn't hear. It's hardly, there was no radio. There was no communication. So what happened? So here is a very interesting thing. The Torah Tamima says that the word Shema here means that they were mevinot. They understood. Well, what did they understand? This is your question. I'm answering it right now. So Shema here means hein hevinu. They understood. Just like, for example, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, as we discussed at length when we learned Shema, doesn't mean hear, O Israel. It means understand. Shema has a lot to do, okay, with understanding. So, for example, you're in a heated discussion with somebody you care about, okay? And for sure, when you say, whether, you're male or female, did you hear what I said? Did you? Now, I guarantee if you're going to say it in that tone, yeah, they heard what you said. Okay, male or female. But what's the thing? What are you really asking? Do you understand?
Did you absorb it? Yeah.
Did you absorb? Did you process? Did you understand? Whatever words you want to do.
Also, I've heard listen.
Right.
Well,
but what does listen mean?
Know.
Right?
No, agreed.
Agreed, yes.
The lingo is now I hear.
Right. Oh, now I hear that. I get it. I hear.
Literally, it's...
Right, now I hear it.
I see.
That's exactly. No, you're 100% right. So ready? How did they figure it out? So all of a sudden, who... So this is all Medrash. Who's coming to Moab? Traveling Jewish merchants.
Well, not from Yom State. That's a lot.
And what are they bringing?
Medicine. Things and stuff.
They're bringing delicacies. So if they're bringing perfume and fine linens, right?
There's people to buy them.
Correct. Well, and not only...
The thing is over. The
Ra'av is over. Exactly. Because nobody...
Now, right?
Exactly. Nobody can get involved with expensive things. Mm-hmm. You know, like they bought the iPhone 10. They bought all kinds of really expensive things there. Right? Very expensive items. But you can't do the expensive unless you have food to eat. So they said, again, we'll use yeshiva language, Taka, must be. The Rav is Nifsak, it's done, it's finished. Okay. There's a great story about speaking yeshivish. Just take a minute to share it with you. Maybe you heard it, maybe you didn't, but it's one of my favorite stories. So I have to tell it. It goes, and Arlene, poor Arlene, she's heard it many times. It goes like this. So a guy's been learning, you know, under his parents and his father-in-law's tutelage. And finally they say, you know, it's time for you to come back home with your wife and the kids. You got to earn a living. So he goes to his Rosh Yeshiva and he says, Rebbe, what am I going to do? And he goes, well, what's the problem? He goes, I only know how to speak yeshivish after all this time. So the Rebbe thinks for a minute, he goes, Taka, that's mama's a gesunta problem. I don't know what. So that's it. That's it. That's the reality. So sometimes, but yet at the same time, sometimes that's what you're feeling. That's right. So they figured it out. They heard. Oh, I hear it. All right, let's go weiter. Next, I pasuk Zion. So now we're continuing. Okay, so. Vav is they got up, but they didn't go anywhere. So therefore, it's a machshava. But look what happens in Pasuk Zayin. Vateitse. Now, what's interesting about Vateitse, guys? What lashon is this in terms of grammar?
It's the past.
Okay.
So it's the future kind of thing.
Okay. Well, all right. But it's singular. It's singular. What would you have expected?
Plural.
Exactly. What should it have said? Vatetsu. Uh-huh. Right? It doesn't say that.
As a group that they went?
Well.
More than two?
I got to tell you this. Ready? This is interesting. I saw Vatetsu and I said to myself, wait a second. Vateitse is the same thing as Vayetse, as in Vayetse Yaakov, Meber, Sheva. But this is Vateitse, okay? And it's talking about singular. So who's it referring to primarily at this moment? Naomi. So I thought that was pretty good. And then, you ready?
That's feminine, right?
Yeah, that's why it says Vateitse. Yeah. Whereas Vayetse is masculine, right? I thought that was pretty good. Then I said, I wonder. And I opened up the Mikra Gedolot. Okay? Both in Rut and in Sefer Bereshit. And guess what Rashi says in both places? Exactly what I said. So, Baruch Hashem, I was machavein to what Rashi said. Okay? And what does Rashi say when it comes to Vayetse Yaakov? He says, if you remember, it's the Medrash. He says, when a very important person leaves a place, the place feels empty. Okay? The Ziv, the Hodah, all the greatness has left. And so Naomi has potential greatness at this point because she's made that decision to what? Return. She's getting back to who she was. Okay, get back to who you once were, or to you were. Really, get back to where you once belonged. Right, to quote a famous song from Paul McCartney. Right? Right, get back to where you once belonged, and that's exactly what she's doing.
He learned it at Hebrew school.
Okay, right. So that's it. Vateitse. Now you ready? Vateitse menamakom. So now you know what Rashi says this too. Vateitse menamakom. Asher hayata shama. Again, you don't really need that. This is extra language. I didn't see this anywhere. My own idea. Because look how you could have written the pasuk, everyone. Vateitse min ha-makom. Okay? He could have put in the word he. Ushtei kaloteha. That's all. That's it. That's all you would have needed, right? Mm-hmm. What do you mean, Asher hayata shama? So what kind of movement is this? What kind of movement is this? Is it just gufani? Or is it something else?
No, it's the mind, the body, the neshama.
Exactly. It's spirit. It's ruchani. It's a spiritual movement. Look how rich this is. I mean, this is unbelievable. The simplistic nature of the language tends to throw us off. Okay? And I always say that if you can't explain something simply, it means that you don't understand it. Because you're too busy using, you know, terminology that just covers up what you're trying to say instead of revealing what you're trying to say. But the Tanakh in this instance is so simple in the language so that everyone gets it. Okay? And this is so obviously extra language. So they left the Makom Asher Hayata Shama. Means they left everything for which Moab stood.
Baruch Hashem.
Okay? Including who?
Orpah.
Even though she gets such a terrible rap, as we discussed last week in the Medrash. At this point, is there any difference between Orpah and Ruth?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Not yet.
Because everybody leaves. It's in the singular because Naomi has the greatest potential, and now she's going to re-exercise who she's always been, okay? And she's going to re-establish who she's always been. But at this point, who also has tremendous potential? Shtei Kaloteha, her two daughter-in-laws, okay? So, again, has that yet taken place? No. So everybody is still anonymous. Now, again, guys, you're all smart. You're all sophisticated. Do we need this word, Ima? V'teitzi min ha-makom asher hayata shama u'shtei kaloteha. Don't I know that it's Ima? So what's Ima means what?
With her.
Right? So they, what does that mean? They were one.
Okay? They were all on the same page.
They were, yeah. So, like you know, when it comes to the Akedat Yitzchak, mm-hmm. how do you know that whether it was Avraham or it was Yitzchak, they both were of one mind? How do you know that? What's the famous Lashon? Vayelchu Shnehem Yachtav. And the two walked together. Right? And Rashi says, excuse me, quoting the Medrash, what? One to be shechted, and one to be the shochet. So in this case, they're with her. Ushtei kaloteha ima, they're with her. Now, you ready?
Again, spiritually with her.
Spiritually with her. It's not, I mean, I don't know, of course.
Besides, obviously, physically.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the richness of what's going on here. It's amazing. Okay? Now, v'teilachna baderech. Okay? As you might suspect, and they walked on the derech. What do you think that, after everything we said, means?
Derech Hashem.
Okay? Derech Hashem. Now, some of the Mephorshim say, teilachna baderech, that as they walked and they discussed the derech of Hashem, what particular derech of Hashem did they discuss? Hilchot Geirut. That's what they discussed. Because Naomi is trying to figure this out. Is Is it the case that Ruth and Orpah are really going to be Ima forever? Well, let me share with them the rules, the regulations, because it seems that's what they want.
But somebody's going to show their doubt.
Exactly. And how do you know that that is at least a reasonable explanation? Because now we have the word, the third word in the same pasuk that describes movement, which is what? Lashuv. To return. To return. So what's that mean, to return? So if they're really going to become Geirot, right? If they're really going to become Geirot or Giorot, right? So they're returning to their primeval neshama, which was where everyone saw you at Sinai. That's what they're returning to. So, and where are they going to? They're going on Aliyah, Al Eretz Yehuda. And remember, for us, Nefesh B'Nefesh is not just a physical movement. Aliyah is not just a physical movement, but it really means Aliyah Ta Neshama. That's what it's all about. That's what's happening here. This is the pasuk of potential transformation. Okay?
If the hunger was over, does that mean they made tshuva?
If what? The Klai Yisrael did tshuva? Well, I would say this. Hashem pakad, right? Hashem visited. He in quotation marks, he didn't do it for nothing. Right? There must have been a reason. They must have somehow, in some way, in some manner, started doing just a little better. And, you know,
it's... They felt Hashem Shekhinah, or...
Right, I mean, Klal Yisrael? Yeah, I believe so. I mean, remember, even the disaster that was Shimshon, when he could have and should have, okay, it's one of the rare moments that you'll hear me say those words, when he could have and should have taken his passion, okay, and had the passion, you didn't learn this, have the passion serve Klal Yisrael. Instead, what did he do? Politely, he became a womanizer. That's what he did. Okay, so there's tremendous potential, and the failure was as significant as the potential. But even with Shimshon, the Malach Hashem, before he's born, comes how many times? Twice. So it's a gilui, not direct gilui shechina, but it was there. It was there. Okay? Very powerful. Alright. So, that would be a short answer to your question. Alright. Pasuchet. V'tomer Naomi. So, by the way, who gets a name?
Naomi.
Naomi.
Oh, Naomi, sorry.
Naomi gets a name.
I'm sorry I left you out.
Isn't that interesting? Alright? There's no name in Hay. There's no name, except for Machlon and Kilion, and you know how popular they are. There's no name in Vav. There's no name in Zion. And we don't get a name until Pasuchet. Why? Because one thing we know for sure, Naomi, Avadai, Avadai, is on the correct path to Hashem. So she, once again, takes back her name. What's Naomi mean?
Pleasant.
Okay, and Eitz Chaim Hi L'macha Zikim Ba V'chol Netivotah, right? Shalom, and it's the idea of Ni'ima, pleasantness. Okay, so Naomi is pleasant because why is she going to be pleasant now? She's changing back to who she was before. Exactly. So Vaitomei Naomi L'shteg Aloateha. They still don't have names because, as the old expression goes, they haven't fully cut, you know, either cut bait or fish, but you can't do both. They haven't completely decided. So Naomi, after having discussed Hilchot Geirut with them in Pasuk Zion, is now going to do what? As you're supposed to, dissuade the would-be ger from becoming a ger. Because you really want to make sure, as one of the rabbis I had in Smicha said, that they want to potentially embrace Judaism, but not embrace a Jew.
At this point, there's no suitors on the horizon.
Oh, it's kind of worse than that. And Naomi's going to spell it out. Right? I mean, very, very explicitly. And we're going to see that right now. So I tell my very, but you're again. I mean, I'll pay you later. V'tomer Naomi l'shtei chalotah. She said to her two daughters-in-laws, "Lechna, okay, basically get out of here, go away." Now, remember I told you about this word shuv, okay, 12 times in variation in the first parak. Shovna, return. Isha lebeit ima. Each woman to the house of her mother. Okay?
But I thought they were sisters, so why would you say it that way?
Okay.
That
so, doesn't mean they can't have the same mom.
As I was saying, so go home to your mother. Like, why would you say, like, each of you to your own mother? Yeah, like, just
read. Okay. Again, the Medrash says they were sisters, and they were the princesses from, right? From the Melech Moav, Eglon Melech Moav, but you could read it that otherwise.
Well, they could have the same father,
different mothers. That's also possible. Very, very possible, especially, you know, as...
Or that she's choosing Naomi to be her.
Right, as the great comic once said, it's good to be the king. So yes, it's entirely possible. Okay? But that's what we have here. So Shovna Isha Lebeit Ima. Go. And then... Ya'as Hashem imachem, and here's that word, the key word for the entire Sefer, Chesed. Root is the Sefer of Chesed. Whether it's Root or Boaz, okay, Chesed. And remember, as we said again, and I based this on Dr. Ziegler, okay, Chesed is the antidote for the entire Sefer Shoftim. Our darkest hour. Really. Our darkest hour. And the only dawn in this period. Because remember, how does the whole Sefer begin? Vayhi b'yamei Shofot HaShoftim. It's still the period of the Shoftim. And it's the darkest hour in Jewish history. We're miserable in so many ways. Right? The immorality reigns unfettered. Avodah Zorah is moments, you know, away at all times. So it's up to Ruth, okay, and Boaz to bring about the change. And what's the change, entire change based upon? Chesed. Right? Chesed. So Naomi says, listen, Ya'as Hashem imachem chesed. Kadosh Baruch Hu should do chesed for you. Okay? Kasher asitem im hametim v'imadi. Like you did for the dead and with me. Okay. So what's the chesed that they did for the dead? So, according to the Medrash and according to the Malbim, they were good wives. Now, anyone who's on the wife side of the world knows that it isn't always easy to be married to your husband, no matter how wonderful he potentially could be. Okay, it's a challenge. And sometimes being nice to your husband is an act of chesed.
Especially if he's a Moabite.
Especially, right. Very true. Okay, and of course, you know, probably more so than the opposite way. So they had tremendous kindness for their husbands. They were nashim tovot. They were whatever that means in that time in history to be a good wife. They were good wives. Okay. What's about imadi? What does imadi mean? So that means that until this point, hisharu im Naomi. They didn't abandon her. They could have abandoned her easily. What could they have said? Machlon, Kilion, they're dead, we have no more connection. You were my mother-in-law, but we don't even have kids, so there's nothing for
no
you
ties.
To come and visit. There's no ties. We're out of here. Back to Moab. Who needs you? But they didn't. They didn't. They had chesed. Okay, and that's why she says, it should be a midah keneged midah. The chesed that you expressed to Kutcher Brichel, okay, should be, the chesed that you expressed to me and my children, Kodesh Baruch Hu should express to you. Same thing, okay? And what does she say? What should happen to them? Pasuk Tet. Yitein Hashem lechem. Hashem should give to you. So what's the obvious word that's missing here? What should he give to them that they don't have now as young women? What should they receive?
Husbands.
Okay. Who says that? Once again, the Ibn Ezra. Okay. You should have husbands. U'metzena menucha. And you should find peace. Okay. You should have the kinds of husbands with whom you find peace and a sense of completeness. Okay? And Isha Beit Isha, each woman, right, in the house of her husband. Because here, notice the word Isha, the second time, has a dagesh.
Mm-hmm.
And that means husband. So each woman should find peace, comfort, tranquility, right, with her husband. Okay? And then, this is going to be twice in this parak. The tishak lehen, she kissed them. What kind of kiss was this?
Not the Italian one.
No, this is not that. This is not an something they could not refuse, right? Well, what kind of kiss was this?
A farewell.
This is a farewell kiss. Bye. The tishak lehen. Now they knew what it was because look what they do. The tisenna kolan. And they raised up their voices in wailing. V'tivkenna. And they cried. And they cried. Now, if you go back, I'm just trying to remember where this was. Pasuk Yudalit. It's almost the same exact phrase is found again. Look at the beginning of Yudalit. V'tisenna kolan. Right? V'tivkenna. Okay, it's the exact same phrase, except for one word. Ode. They cried a second time. Okay? So, again, because what happens now, okay, what happens now is there's going to be further attempts by Naomi to dissuade them to follow. So here we go.
Well, don't they have to,
have to
be refused like three times, is that?
Yeah, and that's what's happening. That's what's happening. Exactly correct. Right? Three times. Right? Three times, and it's the opposite of baseball. Three times, and you're in. If you still want to go with this, then you're still here. So, v'tomarna la. Okay? And they said to her. Who said to who, guys?
Ruth
and Orpah. Is Orpah still at Tzedeket right now?
For the
time. 100%. For Tomar Ki itach, for with you, Nashuv. Nashuv is singular or plural? Plural. Plural. Ki itach, Nashuv, la'amech. We will return to your people. Now that foreshadows.
They say we will return to your people.
Like, to your people.
Are they including themselves in the your?
Well, doesn't that really foreshadow what we have? If you go all the way up to Ted Zion. Turn the page over, guys. Go to Ted Zion. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Look what the language is toward the end of the Pasuk. Amech Ami, your people are my people.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, it's inclusive and not exclusive. Okay? V'tomar nala ki itach nashuv la'amech. We're going to return to your people. Okay? So And it seems that there's a further chesed from Orpah, certainly a chesed from Ruth, and that really, in a certain level, magnifies the negative perception of Chazal, forces us greater scrutiny. Because as I already pointed out to you, there's nothing in the text that indicates Orpah was such a no goodnik. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll just leave it at that. Now, she says it again. So until now, how have the two sister-in-laws, not sister-in-law, daughter-in-laws been referred to? Kalo Teha. Now the language is going to change. The Yud Aleph. V'tomer Naomi, Shovna, return, Binatai. Kalo Teha, is a very formal word. Where are you going for Shabbos? I'm going to my daughter-in-law. Mm-hmm. Right? That's pretty formal. If you say, I'm going to Devorah, my daughter-in-law, that's an entirely different mm-hmm. expression. Right?
You said, I'm going to my children.
Right, or I'm going to my children. Right? And then and at our age, you say, no, you're not going to get children, you're going to get grandkids. Okay, we know that. But that's okay. But I'm going to my kids, right? Or am I going to my children? Okay, so that's what happens here. Shovna benotai. Suddenly, it's familiar. Okay? Now, however, this is another time, just like Joan said, when she's trying to drive them away. Lechna. Get out of here. Kizakanti miyot leish. I'm too old to be with a man, ... and produce more children. And one of you said this before, there's no men hanging around right now. And there's no men. No, and Naomi, right? As her namesake is saying right here, right?
She's also saying, I can't provide for you.
Correct. I can't provide your marriage solution.
Well, she can't provide for them in terms of food or whatever either. She's a widow all alone.
Correct. But yeah, go ahead.
Why can't she, if they're a guy, why can't she act as a shotgun?
She's not moving on that level, because what she thinks is they're thinking, as the text is going to make very clear, she thinks they're thinking that she is going to produce another mm-hmm. son. Listen, I'm not
they're
kidding.
Already adults.
Yeah.
Let's see it in the text. Ki amarti. Okay? Ki amarti. Yeshli. Right? Tikva? Do you think I have the remotest amount of hope? Gamaiti halayla leish. Even if tonight I were to be with a man, okay, the gam yaladati banim, that I could still have children. Obviously, she's reached an age, Naomi, where that's not in the cards. Okay, so she thinks that they're waiting around. Maybe she doesn't know. Again, like I said before, do they want to embrace Judaism, or do they want to embrace a Jew? She doesn't know. So she's trying to dissuade them by telling them, listen, I know that if I have a son, he's duty-bound to marry one of you, but you think I can have a son? So that's what he says. Now, you ready? She makes it even clearer right now. Halahein tisaberna arasher yigdalu. And even if I had sons, you're grown-up women. Would you really wait for them to grow up?
Talking about taking the cradle, huh?
Right, talking about cougars, okay? Right? Halahein te'agna. Would you tie yourselves up? And what word does te'agna look an awful lot like? Aguna. And aguna is a tied-up woman. She can't marry anyone else. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's an aguna. So would you tie yourselves up like that? Levilti heyot leish, and refrain from taking husbands? Mm-hmm. Don't do that. What's she trying to do? Push them away.
Well, why would they think that they can only marry her sons? There are other men around.
Correct.
Not the right men.
But maybe not the right men. And maybe they thought that first and foremost, they would be duty-bound to continue the name of one of their husbands, right? So maybe mm-hmm. that's what I thought they should be with Naomi's child, potential future
maybe
child.
That was the custom then.
Which is also customary.
That, you know, that the brother
have to drop a shoe.
But that's only
right.
if there's
because they're dead already, right?
Single and then, you know, available.
Agreed.
That
so there's
that might have right. been just in the times, even the surrounding culture.
Correct.
The person stayed in the family.
They did. Mm-hmm. Voluntarily, if they stayed in the family. So maybe there's another. Because remember what happens with Yehuda and Tamar?
Mm-hmm.
So Aaron and Onan die, but there's a little kid named Shelah. And after losing Aaron Onan, what does Yehuda not do? He doesn't give Shelah to Tamar, which leads to Tamar's subterfuge, mm-hmm. pretending to be a lady of the night, mm-hmm. sitting in the crossroads, and Yehuda's right. Yehuda's wife has recently passed away. He's a lonely man walking on the road and sees a lady of the evening, okay? And Tamar is doing all of this, of course, not for her own personal needs, but for what purpose? Continuity. Just like Benot Lot, and ultimately just like Ruth herself.
But Benot Lot thought that the world was ending.
Right.
Tamar didn't think that.
No, but what did she
and
want?
There were other people around.
Agreed, but what did she want for sure?
I don't know, I didn't learn this part.
I know you didn't. She wanted continuity
from
Yehuda.
He didn't have any other children at that point?
He did, I told you. He had Shelah.
Yeah, so.
But he wouldn't give.
Wouldn't give.
And he wouldn't give why?
I guess he
well, losing two sons to the same woman doesn't sound like a good idea to give a third son, right? So he refused.
Oh.
Right? Two strikes in this case, you're out. All right, so she had to go through a whole subterfuge. So now we have Al Benotai, the third time Benotai. Yud Alef Benotai, Yud Bet Benotai, and Yud Gimel Benotai. Okay, she's definitely saying, I'm not doing this for me, I'm doing this for you. Al Benotai, don't wait. Ki mar li ma'od. I'm very bitter. Okay. What? In fact, what does she say when she eventually gets back to Beit Lechem? She says, "Don't call me Naomi, but what should you call me? Mara."
Which is bitter.
Right. Like Marur. Mm-hmm. Okay. Ki marli ma'od. I'm very bitter. Mikem. I'm even more bitter than you. Why? Ki yatsa bi yad Hashem. Because the hand of Hashem has come against me. Now, we're going to stop with that pasuk because I don't want to rush. And by going from Yudalid on in this perek, right, what we'll be able to do is get the famous speech of Ruth. But one thing I do want to say, when she says Ki yatsa bi yad Hashem, I think it's a tacit statement that she feels guilty for not having done more than she did with both her husband and her sons. She's obviously a spiritual person. She's obviously a person where infused with holiness, infused with a deep recognition of Kodesh Baruch Hu. But why ki yatsa bi yad Hashem? Because she failed to give it over. And in failing to give it over, and perhaps she didn't not only fail, but perhaps she didn't. Failing, okay. If you try and you fail, mm-hmm. okay. But I think there's more than trying and failing. I think she remained quiet. And in being quiet, she's complicit. And that may not be a sin of omission, mm-hmm. but it's a sin of commission. Okay? It's like the people that lived in Poland around the various concentration camps. What if you interview them, what do they all say? We had no idea what was going on. Okay? The reality is, if you ever singe the piece of hair in a flame, and that horrible smell from a one strand of hair. So how can anyone ever claim that they didn't know what was going on? So that's that they might not have been the actual murderers, but they didn't do anything to stop it either, right? So I believe what Naomi is saying is that Ki Yatzabi Yad Hashem, because I could have and I should have done far more than I did. And had I done that, I wouldn't be where we are today. So, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, God willing, we'll continue with Yud Daled next week. It's going to be the split. And who's going to leave? Orpah. Who's going to stay? Ruth. And because Ruth stays, the Jewish world is changed forevermore.